Are you ready to talk Padres off-season baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, we've got Jesse Agler in studio, who's trying to figure out what's the deal with these recent chilly temperatures in San Diego.
Is it in El Nino? Is that maybe part of the deal?
No, okay. No, get away.
Well, no, there's different atmospheric conditions that can affect things like whale migration.
Also in studio, we've got Bill Center, who, despite being quite worldly, is more concerned with baseball than he is climate change.
I have electric interest.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour,
the off-season edition,
presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
You know, it has been cold, Bill.
It has been.
You know, when I moved out to San Diego, they said, hey, it's 70 all the time, and it never rains. It's been like 45 degrees in the morning.
But usually, we get some of this in January, not now. So,
is it El Nino?
I guess everything could be El Nino.
Any difference in the norm, we're just going to put on El Nino.
But we haven't had the rains yet, but generally with an El Nino, they
tomorrow.
They come a little bit later. I mean, the heavy rains.
Oh, okay.
And when we have heavy rains here, we can have heavy rains. Not like Miami heavy rains.
No, they're in where I'm from in South Florida, it rains every day in the summer.
And the ocean
for 2 hours.
Right, and the ocean meets
it's
the
over.
Heaven. Right.
Yeah, exactly. You can't see anything. You try to drive, forget about it.
Right.
And then it just stops, and all of a sudden it's sunny again. That's a Florida rain. It's been freezing here, though. I'll complain. I feel like a real San Diegan now. 46 degrees in the morning, and I'm complaining.
Right.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour. Happy holidays, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Our last show of 2015. Can you believe it?
Merry Christmas, by the way.
Yes.
To you and yours, because
and
I
to
know
you and yours.
We've got a very special date coming up, and very special Christmas for you, I would imagine.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. You know, look, every year is exciting this time of year. It's fun. It's different. We got the Holiday Wonderland going on here at Petco Park. Just a couple more days of that, by the way. It's also exciting because it's hot stove season. And December 18th has come and gone. That was 3-4 days ago, right? And why do I bring up December 18th? Because last year, December 18th, was when A.J. Preller.
It all came down.
Boom. Full throttle. Right. Go, go, go. All the deals went down on December 18th last year. It has been a little bit more quiet this offseason, but that's not to say things haven't been happening.
Right.
The stuff has been going on. We were at the winter meetings a couple of weeks ago. We'll hear from the manager, Andy Green, coming up in a little bit. We talked to him at the winter meetings. But A.J. Preller has been making some moves. Jed Jerko traded to St. Louis. John Jay coming back in that deal. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But also some Rule 5 pickups, some interesting guys to talk about here. And Rule 5 guys, let's start with this, Bill, are always interesting because they have to be on the major league roster the entirety of the following season, or you got to give them back.
Or you have to recycle them, right.
So these are names we should know.
Right.
And really 3-4 guys that A.J. Preller has picked up on. Can I start with the power bat?
Right.
That's a fun place to start. Jabari Blash is the guy that was the player to be named later in the Alonso deal with the A's, and he was selected by Oakland in the Rule 5 draft, from Seattle. Career minor leaguer, a little bit older, but he hits the ball a ton when it comes to power.
He has great power, has a very high strikeout ratio, of course, with Lauer. But he's a very interesting guy that you could make him your fifth outfielder and a power bat off the bench if he stays. You know, the interesting thing is you've got four of them, and let's be honest, four of them are not going to make the major league roster.
Sure.
So I would imagine you could have a couple in the bullpen. Blash is a possibility. It's a very interesting dynamic on picking up four guys in a Rule 5 draft.
Yeah.
Because you know they're not all going to be here.
And that's really the reality of the situation. But you pay $50,000 to select a guy in the Rule 5 draft. If you give him back, you get a 50% refund. So basically the Padres bringing in these three pitchers and this outfielder, they're making $25,000 bets.
Right.
And now, is $25,000 a lot of money to you and me and Blooper? Of course, absolutely. But when it comes to a baseball payroll, it's nothing. You know, that's pennies in your pocket. And so A.J. Preller and the baseball operations staff here at the Padres, they're saying, hey, essentially, right, correct me if I'm wrong, let's audition these guys. Let's see what they got. Let's roll them out in Peoria, and maybe something sticks.
And there's about a 25% possibility that when you offer him back to the club that he came from, they may not want him. If he clears waivers, you can still retain him. It goes through two steps before you can retain him.
Right.
But there is a possibility. And if that happens and he's not on the major league roster, then you have another good prospect in the farm system.
You put him back down to the minor leagues,
right.
Let him develop and all of that. All right, so Preller's been busy with the Rule 5 stuff. He was a little bit busy at the winter meetings. We mentioned the Jerko trade. We'll find out a little bit more about John Jay coming up in a few minutes. The other move made kind of between the last show we did and now was the acquisition of another catcher from the Atlanta Braves. Casey Kelly, the principal guy moving to Atlanta. It was great to see Casey return to the big leagues last year, coming back again from the elbow, from the Tommy John. That was one of the feel-good moments of the late part of the 2015 season. So Casey Kelly goes to the Atlanta Braves, and Christian Bethencourt, a catcher, comes back. Now, if I look at the Padre roster right now and in late December, it doesn't mean too much because so much will change between now and spring training and certainly now and opening day. But I see a lot of guys in that catcher category.
You got four catchers in the 40-man roster.
What are we doing here?
Well, for one thing, I think Bethencourt is going to be your backup catcher no matter what.
Okay.
That means that you've got Hedges and Norris ahead of him right now. Either one of those two guys are traded before spring training, or it tells you that Hedges may be going back to AAA for more seasoning, getting another year with the bat in AAA. But I've got Bethencourt as my backup catcher. For one thing, he's out of options. He's got to stay on the roster, or you have to waive him, or move him. So I've got him as my backup catcher.
Okay, so you mentioned Austin Hedges and the possibility of the minor leagues. I've heard Corey Brock talk about this recently as well. I think for a lot of fans, after seeing Austin Hedges spend as much time as he did on the big league roster in 2015, the idea, the concept of him starting 2016 in AAA or spending a fair amount of time of 2016 in AAA would seem like a step back in his development. But if you really look at the situation, we talk about Austin Hedges. He got time here last year.
Right.
He got experience here last year. That doesn't mean he's necessarily ready to be an everyday major league catcher. Maybe he is, and we'll find out. And if he is, then that makes it more complicated in a good way. But if he's not, this is not any sort of major indictment on Austin Hedges.
Oh, no, not at all. And the other possibility is if you don't add a corner outfielder, you could put Will Myers in left and move Derek Norris to first. There are a lot of moving parts right here. A lot of people say having four catchers on the 40-man roster is ridiculous. At this moment, I don't see it as being ridiculous. I see it as giving AJ, giving Andy Green a little flexibility.
Okay, so we got flexibility for the manager, flexibility from the general manager, catcher position. It'll sort itself out
right. Eventually,
but going into spring training, they're certainly going to have some options. One more move I want to talk about before we get to Jerko and John Jay. Brandon Morrow, starting pitcher, we saw him early last year. He's had injuries the last couple of seasons with Toronto, had some injury stuff with the Padres this year. But when we saw him early on, he was very, very good. He was arguably the Padres' maybe best starter in the first month of the season.
I don't think it's arguably.
Okay. He was the best, according to Bill Center, he was the Padres' best starting pitcher at the beginning of the 2015 season. Injuries derailed him once again.
Right.
Coming back, though, on a minor league contract, I like when stuff like this happens.
I think that bringing Brandon Morrow back in a minor league contract is a wise move. Josh Johnson, no. But Morrow is a completely different situation. It was a debridement surgery he had on his shoulder, and debridement basically means cleaning it up. There are some particles in there that were getting in the way. On a minor league contract with a major league, he's got a nice contract if he does make the major league. I do see him as competing for one of the five spots in this starting rotation. And last year, in his first five starts, he was 2-0. More importantly, the Padres were 5-0. Very competitive pitcher. He's one of those guys that keeps you in every game he goes out in.
And you need guys like that in your rotation.
Brandon Morrow is a type of pitcher who pitches to the game. And I like that type of pitcher.
Okay. I like that too. And I like this. You know, he didn't really get to do what he wanted to do last year because of the injuries. He sees the situation. The Padres see the situation. Bring him in on a minor league deal and give it another shot here for the 2016 season. All right, I mentioned we were at the winter meetings, and we'll have the Andy Green interview from Nashville coming up in a few minutes. But Blooper and I, we had a good time in Nashville.
I heard.
And Becky as well. Oh, yeah. And one of the things I think people maybe don't realize about the winter meetings is exactly what the winter meetings are. Now, yeah, a lot of it is the trades and it's the GMs and it's the Major League news. But as you're about to see, there's a lot more that goes on at the baseball winter meetings than just Major League general managers making deals. All right, everybody thinks the baseball winter meetings are just about trades and transactions and all the crazy baseball news that takes place. And obviously that is a big part of the baseball winter meetings, but there is a lot more going on here in Nashville this year. Take a look. So I got to tell you, Dot is doing an outstanding job. These are not the most navigable waterways in the world. Very tricky, very narrow, kind of rock back and forth a little bit. You got to be careful not to run aground. One of the huge components of any winter meetings is the minor league job fair. So basically, hundreds and hundreds of prospective minor league employees come and interview for jobs and apply for jobs and try and get their foot in the door to have a job in baseball.
I am here because I am trying to become a broadcasting personnel, I guess.
I'm here to be a broadcaster.
Broadcaster.
Trying to get into broadcasting. My Ted Leitner impression. We're here at the winter meetings for my Padres. 2-1 as they land the next two free agents. Go home.
My dream job would be to be a GM of a major league team.
My dream job is marketing promotions.
I'm actually here just to rock out and be awesome.
I have had two interviews.
So far, I have not had any interviews since I've been out here.
Was scheduled for one, had to reschedule, but yeah, looking forward to that.
I have had three interviews so far.
I have not had any interviews here.
I've had three interviews so far with a couple of minor league teams.
The craziest question I've been asked is if you could trade your parents, who would they be? And why?
The weirdest question I've gotten so far has asked me to define my personal brand.
Name three uses for a pencil besides writing has been the craziest question I've been asked.
Just this past year, I actually interned in the social media department for the Kansas City Royals. I am getting a Kansas City Royals World Series ring.
While interning with the Golden State Warriors, I am getting a championship ring.
Sadly, I am not getting a Warriors World Championship ring.
No one has mentioned my Pokemon keychain or what Pokemon is in the keychain. It is Chespin, the grass-type Pokemon in Kalos.
So as you can see, the baseball winter meetings are more than just trades and transactions. They're a lot of fun and they're a lot of work for a lot of people. Last year, San Diego. This year, Nashville. Next year, it'll be in Washington, D.C. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to enjoy my boat ride around Opryland.
So they got this like river thing that goes through the whole place. And if you haven't been to Opryland, it's a weird deal, man. It's a weird deal. It's a big glass building. You don't go outside. You don't get any fresh air. And they got this river going through the middle. You can take the boat ride. Dot was very nice. I was complimenting her navigation skills. But the reality is the thing is on
it's
a track.
Chain, right.
Yeah, like Disneyland or
right.
whatever. But that's a weird scene, man. But the winter meetings, quite a show.
I went there, was it 3 years ago? The last time I was there, I was at the winter meetings for the Union Tribune, and it took me about 35 minutes to find my room.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, if somebody is staying on the other side of the hotel from you, it can be like a 20-minute walk.
Right.
It's crazy.
And I didn't know that the carpets were color-coded depending on where you were in the building.
You pick up on that stuff as the week goes on.
Right, and I didn't ask, and they gave me this. I was like, my room was like C2146 or something. And I
C is the quadrant, 21 is the floor, 46 is
right.
the room.
And I walked
around.
But if
it's yellow, it's in one place. If it's green, it's a crazy place. All right, so we had a fun time out at the winter meetings, and nice job by Blooper putting that video together.
How tough would it be, though, to go like to – We showed those young people who were applying for jobs.
Yeah.
And just, it's like part of a cattle call.
What is the opposite of shooting fish in a barrel?
Right.
That's what they're trying for,
right.
man. It's
they're
needle
looking
in
for
a haystack,
miracle.
I guess.
Right.
That's it. You're trying to get a job. You're grinding. You're shaking hands. You're giving cards.
Blooper
collected like 25 business cards.
Is that right?
Now, think about that for a moment. Blooper is inarguably the least important person at the San Diego Padres. And just because he works here, everybody was giving them their cards, trying to network and get their foot in the
door. You'd like to think these people, I mean, you worry that they don't have a chance. And then you realize that Blooper got a job in baseball.
There you go.
So there's hope for everybody.
That's all you need to know. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, talk about John Jay a little bit here from A.J. Preller. Also talk about the Padres Hall of Fame with Bill Center. And Andy Green, manager of the Padres. We're going to hear from him coming up in a little bit. Just a few nights left to be transported out of San Diego and into a winter wonderland here at Petco Park. Don't miss your last chance to check out Holiday Wonderland presented by Jerome's Furniture. Holiday fun for the entire family. It ends just two nights from now on the 23rd. So get your tickets at Padres.com/holiday. Padres.com/holiday. That is snow, actual snow on the wiffle ball field. Take a break. Come back. More Padres Social Hour right after this.
When the summer rolls around, the Padres will be playing right here. For now, you've got us. Padres Social Hour,
the off-season edition.
Coming to you from the AMR studio.
Padres Social Hour presented by United with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Happy holidays. Last show of 2015. Hear from Andy Green coming up in a few minutes, the new Padre manager. Caught up with him at the winter meetings in Nashville, Tennessee. While we were there, Padres made a trade, and it was one of the sort of more discussed moves of those couple of days. The deal was with the St. Louis Cardinals. And Jed Jerko, who's been a starter for the Padres for a couple of years now, gets sent to St. Louis in exchange for outfielder John Jay, who, by the way, went to the University of Miami. I'll just throw that out
there
for you.
Yeah.
And so
Jerko, to know the background
for Jay, of course, it's a big part of it. And so, you know John Jay's name. He's played for the Cardinals. We've seen him in the postseason. But maybe we don't know as much about John Jay as we should, considering he's becoming a San Diego Padre. So I'll get a little scouting report from you, for you. And who better to get the scouting report from than the GM of the Padres, A.J. Preller. Here you go. Here's what A.J. told us about John Jay in Nashville.
Yeah, John obviously is left-hand hitting center fielder who's he's been parts of really good teams with the Cardinals. He's a good defender, an instinctive center fielder. Even though it's not necessarily plus speed, he's a guy that has played good defense. This past year he's played multiple outfield spots. He's a tough out, grinds at bats, has hit left-hand pitching, and I think equally important to us. I think all the information we did as far as digging on him as a person and a player. He's been a guy that's, probably can be considered a leader and, a guy I think is going to be a really positive influence in our clubhouse.
I want to bookend A.J. Preller there. Both the first thing he said and the last thing he said to me are the most interesting. Let's start with the first. A left-handed hitter.
Right.
The most basic thing you can say about a baseball player, right, a position
right.
player, is whether he's a right-handed hitter or a left-handed hitter. First thing out of A.J.'s mouth, left-handed hitter. That's significant.
Right, because they need to balance the lineup. I think that is very significant. What I really like about John Jay as a hitter, very high on-base percentage. So this is somebody that figures to be at the top of the lineup. Left-handed hitters, hits left-handed pitchers pretty well. But the thing that stands out to me, very high on-base percentage throughout his career. Even when he struggled with the bat, with the percentage, with a batting average, on-base percentage has still been very good.
Last thing A.J. Preller said was the off-field, the clubhouse stuff for John Jay.
Huge.
I talked to several people at the winter meetings who have been around the Cardinals, and every single one of them brought up his character, his leadership, his clubhouse, all that kind of stuff. Also, not irrelevant in this situation.
I think it is huge, to be perfectly honest. I'll be totally honest here. The end of last season, I did not like the vibe in the Padres clubhouse. I just didn't like a lot of things about that feel to that clubhouse. And I think that they really needed to add a leader, somebody who would take charge in the clubhouse, off the field. And I think John Jay is that guy. And to me, that makes this trade really positive.
Okay, so that's a big part of it. And now let's talk about his defense. You heard AJ say, played all the different outfield positions last year. That's good because who knows where he fits
right.
in at this point for the Padres. So knowing he could go to left, center, right, I think is a really nice thing. But let's hear from Jennifer Langosh. She covers the Cardinals, does a great job for MLB.com. Here's what she said about John Jay's defense.
He's played mostly in center. At Bush, he certainly can play anywhere he needs to, and he's the type of guy that will be willing to do what's best for the team. Defensively, he had a really solid year in 2012. The Cardinals were kind of pushing for him to be in Gold Glove consideration. Defensively, dropped off a lot in 2013. but a capable defender. You know, certainly that outfield in San Diego is quite large, so he might be a better fit in the corner spot, but gives you the flexibility to play any of the three positions.
All right, there you go. So a little bit more on the defense. So, you know, he's bringing the leadership. He's bringing the on-base percentage in the left-handed bat, and he's bringing, you know, some what could be plus defense if
right.
he sort of gets back to form.
To me, he's a little bit like a Venable in center. Not the absolute perfect guy you'd have like to have in center. Doesn't have great speed to the gaps, but at the same time is a quality catch guy. And you're not hurt if you've got him out there. And if you need him in left or right, he can play both those spots. So
okay.
I did like this trade.
All
as
right.
much as I like Jed, I like this trade a lot.
Okay, so John Jay in, Jed Jerko out. That's sort of the big, you know, major leaguer for major leaguer deal of the last couple of weeks for the Padres. We'll move away from transactions for a few moments. Bill, you wrote something on Padres.com last week about some of the changes coming to Petco Park here in 2016. When it comes to recognizing the history of this ball club and this organization, and the cornerstone of the whole thing is the Padres Hall of Fame, and I know you've worked really, really hard on kind of helping get the project rolling here. What can you tell us? Because I know it's not all public information yet.
Right.
What are you allowed to tell us about the Padres Hall of Fame that will be open in time for the All-Star Game?
It'll
next
be
year?
Open just before the All-Star Game next year. It'll be just below the Western Metals Building, but the Hall of Fame itself is just going to be part of the project. The Padres are going to project pieces of history throughout the ballpark. In other words, next year when you're walking around Petco Park, it just won't be a wall. There will be displays everywhere throughout Petco Park and the Padres' history. And I think it's great because this is a great ballpark to walk around. And I think that now they're going to weave more of the fabric of the Padres' history, both Major League, Minor League, and the history of baseball in San Diego into this huge project. So I'm really looking forward to it, and it's one of those projects that will build over the years. I know there are other things planned in the future that will also incorporate more history into here at Petco Park, which it's been my dream to sort of turn this ballpark into the focal point of sports athletics in San Diego. And I sort of think that that's part of the master plan for the future, looking into the future. And I love the idea of the Hall of Fame, but I also like even more the idea of spreading that history throughout the ballpark.
Yeah, you make a great point, particularly when you consider the weather here. And I was joking about the cold earlier. But generally speaking, I mean, this is a place you can come 365 days
right.
a year and enjoy yourself. So, you know, to sort of put everything in a room would be, I think, short-sighted.
Right.
You know, and yeah, you have to do that up north and where it's cold and rainy in the winter and that sort of thing. But here, spreading it out, like you said, I think there's a great opportunity there, and that's pretty cool. Yeah, there will be a Hall of Fame room, so to speak, you know, out in front of the Western Metal Building right where we are. But there will also be parts of the Hall of Fame, parts of the exhibit, so to speak, throughout the entire place as time goes on. I think that's really, really cool.
And the tours of Petco Park will reflect what the history factor that they're building in. So
right.
To me, it's very exciting.
Okay.
Because I'm one that, yes, the Padres, Major League Padres history is important, but there's so much more to the history of baseball in San Diego.
No doubt about it, and that will be reflected, as you said. One other quick change that you wrote about in the article is that the retired numbers are going to be moving from atop the batter's eye
right.
to sort of behind home plate there, you know, kind of where the broadcast booths and the press boxes are. And so instead of just the numbers now, and we have Tony as the example here, you're going to have the number with the first name on one side and the last name on the other.
Right. And they're going to be visible now from the outfield. And again, to me, it's another thing to move around the ballpark, see what's there. Because, like, if you're sitting in the upper deck behind home plate, you're not going to be able to see them. But if you're walking around, you're going to be able to see them. And I like the idea that the names will be displayed along with the numbers. It'll be a three-color pattern. I never liked them on top of the batter's eye, to tell you the truth.
Okay, well, you got your way.
Right.
I'm kidding. I know it wasn't your decision.
Right. No, it was not my call.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and get back to on-field stuff. Andy Green, the Padre manager, we'll hear from him in a few minutes. Speaking of managing and coaching, for the 10th consecutive year, the Padres will host a free coaches development training for youth baseball and softball coaches coming up on Sunday, January 31st. The clinic will focus on how to teach and develop young athletes, so register at padres.com/clinics. This is such a great one that the Padres do, teaching coaches how to coach, you know, how to get the most out of their kids, how to treat the everything, right? On, off field, all of it, baseball, softball, doesn't matter. Padres.com/clinics. It is a free clinic for local youth baseball and softball coaches. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear from the manager, Andy Green, Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at beautiful Petco Park.
We're back to Padres Social Hour,
the off-season edition.
Keeping you up to date on all the hot stove news, presented by United Airlines.
Padres Social Hour off-season rolling on. Bill Center, Jesse Agler mentioned we were at the winter meetings in Nashville a couple of weeks ago. Cold there. Very cold there. Miserably cold and gray. Here, at least when it's cold, it's still sunny and beautiful. There it was cold and gray. But one of the highlights, I think, of the few days that we were there was getting the opportunity to sit down next to that lazy river with the Padre manager, Andy Green. All right, Andy, first winter meetings as big league manager. How has it been so far for you?
It's been great. You know, we spent a lot of time in the suite talking about possibilities, ways to make our club better. Obviously connecting with a lot of people here in the area, and it's just the hub of activity, and you know, we've accomplished some things already and have some good things on the docket as well.
What are those nights like in the suite? You, AJ Preller, the baseball operations staff, as you're talking about potential moves, potential guys, all that kind of thing.
You know, with AJ, he's very opportunistic, so everything's on the table at any time, any discussion points acceptable, so you can bring anything to the table. And I guess as a manager, it might cause a little trepidation from time to time because you talk about anybody, but at the same time, that's the only way you're going to improve your club. That's the only way you're going to end up great, is exploring different kind of possibilities.
Are you even able to like start to formulate in your head, all right, I kind of want to use this guy like this, that guy like that? Or does the fact that AJ is taking and making so many phone calls sort of slow yourself down a little bit?
I think you wait for the roster to be redesigned a little bit before you start making plans on your lineup for the season. You know, adding John Jay a couple days ago, that's a huge piece for us. It's veteran leadership, it's a left-handed bat, it's a guy who's got a tremendous feel for the game, and in my 10 minutes talking to him on the phone, you realize how impactful he's going to be for our club.
When you came in, how much of an opinion did you have on the current roster and sort of the state of that? Obviously you were in the division last year, but you're so much more focused on your own club. How much homework, I guess, and catching up was there?
There's obviously trying to get to know guys intimately. I think that's the most important thing when it comes down to it. Sitting face-to-face with Matt Kemp and talking to him for a couple hours, taking James Shields out to eat, sitting down with Tyson Ross and getting to know guys on a personal level. That's the only way you really get to know what's inside guys. You can read all the scouting reports you want, but it's really time spent. It's time invested in guys, and I think we found out that we got some good guys here.
Have you taken a boat ride yet since you've been to Nashville?
Need to. That's it looks like a lot of fun right there.
It's only $9.95. So, yeah, maybe we'll set you up on one of those. It's a blast. It can get a little bit choppy at times, though. As you sort of continue to work with AJ and his staff, is there a turning point for the manager when you sort of get out of off-season mode and into season mode? Is it when you show up at spring training? Is it before that? When do you sort of start, you know, focusing that way?
I don't think 100% of focus goes that direction, especially right here at the winter meetings, but we had staff meetings, got our whole staff together right before I came down here, spent a couple days, a little bit of talk about spring training, ton of talk about staff expectation and our players and what they bring to the table. So mine kind of looks forward for a little bit, then you come back to the present and think about roster construction, and then once we clear these winter meetings, tons of effort will be put into putting spring training together.
And you've got the coaching staff there, obviously a big part of that. How excited are you to work with this crew that you've put together?
I personally believe it's the best crew in the game of baseball. I think the type of experience we brought in, some of the type of youthful energy that we have at the same time, I think we run the gamut. I think we cover all our bases. I think, you know, in Mark McGwire, you have a bench coach who's been a world championship player, a world championship coach, who's been to the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years. Has a ton of humility to him and authenticity that guys respond to. So not just him, but you look all the way through the coaching roster, it's guys that are going to connect with our players, and that's ultimately what matters.
What do you make of a guy like Mark McGwire and now Barry Bonds in Miami as well, who had the sort of accomplishments that they had, want to get into coaching? And, I mean, that's not easy work. This is a real job, coaching. You know, it's not that he's showing up at 4 o'clock for batting practice, you know, half the year. I mean, this is a year-round kind of thing, you know, for most of these guys. For someone to be that accomplished and to have that sort of career and to want to get into coaching, what does that say about a guy?
Well, in Mark's case, I don't know Barry personally, but in Mark's case, like, he started 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And he says, like, point blank, I had to learn how to coach. I had to learn what it meant to grind in the cage, because there's really no harder job than the hitting coach position from an hours perspective and a time spent perspective. And he talks about learning how to coach and, you know, the humility that comes from him, from what he did, 583 home runs and all his accomplishments. Like, he put himself fully into coaching, and that's one of the reasons, like, it just stood out to me, someone of that accomplishment level, willing to invest that kind of time and energy in making other people better. I think it's perfect.
What are you most excited for moving forward here?
I'm excited to get to the players. I mean, it's all about them. It's all about putting them in positions to succeed. It's all about getting hands on the roster with the coaching staff and finding out how can we figure out whatever it takes to make the Padres absolute best they can be in 2016 and then beyond.
I've heard you say one or two times, you know, spring training may be a little bit different than what you see most teams do. From a drill standpoint, I'm guessing, is what you were talking about. Any further insight into what we're talking about there without giving away maybe any of the big secrets of what's to come?
No, I think early in spring, it'll look similar to what other clubs are doing. And as we progress through spring training, type of activities we do on the baseball field, the way we challenge guys, the pace of which we go about our drill work, it's going to pick up exponentially. And kind of what I believe is you have to force mistakes on the practice field so you can correct them and move forward. And the only way you can do that is to accelerate the pace of play. It's hard to simulate that in practice. It's usually the pressure of game situation that causes that. So there's some mechanisms we have in place to simulate that and to put guys in tough positions and hopefully cause that failure to occur so you can teach from it and learn from it.
All right. In an ideal world, 6 months from now, a year from now, 10 years from now, when somebody's describing an Andy Green managed team, they will describe it how?
I hope intelligent, opportunistic, and aggressive. I hope people look at us and say, you know what, they play the game the right way. They understand all the intricacies of the game. They take advantage of what the opponents give them, and they're constantly putting pressure on them, constantly finding ways to cause other teams to struggle because of the pressure they apply.
Very good. Thanks for your time, and enjoy the rest of these winter meetings.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jesse.
Keeping you up to date on everything Padres all season long, it's Padres Social Hour.
The off-season edition.
Coming to you from the AMR studio.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Good to hear from Andy Green. Very much enjoy speaking with the new Padres manager.
Like, to me, one of the most impressive introduction press conferences I've ever attended.
Doesn't win you any games. We've said this before.
Right.
But it doesn't hurt, man.
Right.
Communication is a big part of that job.
Well,
and not just outward with media and fans, but inward inside his clubhouse.
I was very impressed by how articulate and the message that Andy Green sent out when he took that spot for the first time.
Yeah, me too. And again, I think it's really easy for a cynical fan to be like, ah, that's not wins and losses, but it matters. It does. And so that kind of brings up an interesting question, right? The manager in 2016, what is the role of the manager? Because it does seem different now than maybe it has been in the past. And I'm not saying the change occurred this offseason.
Right.
But sometime in the last, we'll talk about it, however long, things have changed, and the guys you're seeing in these positions have changed. And our friend Eno Saris, who writes for Fangraphs.com, recently had a great article about this, and we caught up with him in Nashville as well to discuss the ever-evolving role of the big league manager. All right, going to visit now with Eno Saris, Fangraphs.com, a fun guy to talk to. A lot of talk with Eno over the last couple of years about pitching grips and those sorts of things. But he's here at the winter meetings. He's been working on something that I find to be a fascinating subject, and that is managing. Padres, one of the teams, of course, this year, you know, with a new manager in Andy Green, a first-time big league manager, a young big league manager, and a guy, right, that's kind of stepping into a role that is an evolving role in baseball?
Yeah, you know, I've been asking everybody. I asked Andy, I asked Dave Roberts, another new young manager, and some older ones, Bruce Bochy, and I asked them, you know, how has the role of managing changed over time? How different is it now than it has been before? And you know, kind of two themes emerged. One was data, which is, you know, you might have expected that. Another one was communication, and they kind of had a bunch of different ways of talking about communication.
When we say communication, I imagine it is to the players. Is it about relating to the guys differently maybe than a generation ago?
Well, there was a sort of contingent that talked about that, and they talked about connecting with players who are used to the sort of digital era and a little bit different a little bit different approach to communicating with the players. And, you know, Brian Price said something about it's a little different talking to $20 million young guys than your old $12,000 veteran back in the day, which... I don't know.
It's not exactly a brand new development either.
No, I don't think so. I'm not so sure about his prospects for the year. It was a weird answer, I thought. But Andy was talking about just, and Dave Roberts also, about how to motivate a player and when the player needs to hear certain things and when not. And, you know, Dave Roberts was talking about how, you know, I think Joe Maddon actually talked about how difficult this game is and how, you know, more often they probably need support than they need criticism.
We hear that a lot from a lot of the guys. It's such a game of failure.
Yeah.
And almost the acceptance of that, the understanding of that, the embracing of that in a way, as far as like what the mental approach should be moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, but there was another part of the communication thing that was interesting was that, and Bruce Bochy said, we didn't have this, you know. We didn't have MLB Network. We didn't have, you know, manager pressers all the time, and we didn't have all this attention. We didn't have the immediacy of social media got brought up a lot, and there's an amount of times they had to communicate with the media was talked about a lot. So it's communication, you know, broad and narrow. It's talking to players and making sure that you get a message across to them, but it's also about, you know, getting the team's message, the front office's message and the team's message to the media.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, too. All right, if you were hiring a manager for your baseball team heading into the 2016 season, give us a composite of what this guy might be like, what his strengths would be.
Well, I like that the position player, actually. The pitching, you know, is such a specific thing, I feel like, that pitching coaches, I'm not sure. I think I would pick a position player. I think they would be able to, you know, go across the aisle well. I'd pick somebody. I like how David Roberts was actually working in media, before he did that. He was sort of a media rep and was working in front of the media a lot. I think that is a good skill to have. I mean, I think that's one of the main skills. And then, I think the last one is a little bit weird, but do you like the guy? You know, I want them to be likable, and I think Andy is really good at that. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, he's been well-liked at all the stops, and I think that he has a good perspective, especially also maybe not a star.
There's
something
tough
about being a star that you just have a different life in baseball.
Interesting, though, Mark McGwire is the new bench coach for the Padres. He seems like a guy who is very open to the idea of managing at some point in the future. Barry Bonds back in the game as a coach. We're seeing almost this wave of guys that maybe a few years ago you would have thought never would be kind of trying to climb that ladder, and here they are.
But you have to worry, you have to wonder a little bit of like the Mattingly, the blow-ups and the, if that's a little bit, if that's a little bit too much of, Mattingly was more of a star, if that's, if he's being too almost star-like and aggressive, with other players, whereas, a guy like Green or Roberts might, find a way to make it that go away without, the visuals
sure.
of having a fight in the dugout.
Yeah, no, as we saw in the playoffs with the Dodgers last
year.
One final thing, we're sitting here, we're talking about what you would look for in a manager, what strengths these guys have, what strengths you want them to have. We haven't talked anything about lineup construction. We haven't talked anything about hitting and running, bunting, any of that. I think for a lot of fans, especially people who are into numbers, that stuff seems so secondary now. And it looks like the baseball establishment is kind of thinking the same way.
Well, I asked...
To a point.
Well, I asked Dave Roberts about... Maddon is probably on the forefront of doing weird things, pitching, batting the pitcher eighth and doing all sorts of stuff. And he's a Sabre guy. So, but I think that that's almost like a requirement to get in the door now. And also, the game has evolved on that front. And these players and coaches have been there with it. So, I asked Andy about that, and I asked Dave Roberts about that, and they said, I wasn't necessarily a Sabre guy to begin with, but I've been in baseball the last 5-6 years, so I've seen how, all this data is being used, and I'm ready for it. I'm used to it.
Right. It's just part of the game now.
It's just part of the game now, yeah.
Maybe the revolution is more over than we thought it was.
Yeah.
Really interesting stuff. Check out Eno's story, fangraphs.com. Always good to see you, man. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Saris, I tweeted links to both articles he ended up writing on the subject earlier today. You can check those out on my Twitter feed. I think it's a fascinating subject.
I do, too. I don't necessarily agree with a lot of what he has to say, but, yes, communication. And now the manager is more of an extension of the general manager, that what goes on with the Sabre metrics and everything goes to the field. it's no longer my way or the highway as a manager. You now have to be part of the corporate board.
Yeah, it's different.
And I think when Bochy was here in San Diego, the communication he had with the players started an awful lot of what we now see in the modern manager.
Very interesting. Okay, we'll take a break, come back. Got a couple more things to get to before we finish off this show. Give the gift of Padres tickets this holiday season with Padres Holiday Packs, your first chance to buy tickets for next season. They are available in 4-packs and 8-packs, and they start at just $99. Packs include a 2016 All-Star Fan Fest ticket and a Padres-themed Elf on the Shelf ornament. Tickets are at Padres.com/holiday pack, Padres.com/holiday pack. We'll take a break, come back. More Social Hour presented by United right after this.
Getting you ready for the Padres 2016 season. This is Padres Social Hour,
the off-season edition,
presented by United Airlines.
All right, back in the AMR studio here with Bill Center, Jesse Agler. Thanks to Andy Green, Osiris, AJ Preller, Jennifer Langosh. Heard from a lot of fun and interesting people here today. One of the big stories from this weekend, right, was the Miss Universe debacle. And that was a huge thing. So we have a joke on this show, right? When something goes wrong on our show, the hashtag that people use, right? Blame blooper.
Right.
And so last night at Miss Universe, Steve Harvey basically, he pulled a blooper. He announced, right. he crowned the wrong Miss Universe. I don't know if you saw it. Here's a picture from last night. Look, oh, it that explains the whole thing.
There we go.
It was blooper. You screwed it all up last night. Nice job, blooper.
That's great.
Nice job.
Live TV is hard.
Yeah, it is. Live TV is very difficult. All right. I want to get back to baseball. That's good, right?
Right.
Thanks
that was good.
To Jonathan Griffith upstairs. He threw that together for me very quickly. Cal Ripken Jr. was out at the winter meetings. We got an opportunity to talk to him. It was cool. Rob Manfred has sort of put him at the forefront of youth baseball development all around the country. And I think that's as good of a guy as any.
Absolutely.
To lead that charge. But while Cal was there, he also received an award at the Big Baseball America Gala, an award that has recently been renamed in honor of number 19. And just before he received the award, had an opportunity to talk to Cal Ripken Jr. about his friend Tony Gwynn.
Hall of Famer Cal Ripken Jr. will receive the Tony Gwynn Award tonight from Baseball America at their annual gala. First of all, congratulations on that. And that's a good sounding award, the Tony Gwynn Award.
I laugh and smile every time I think of Tony Gwynn. It was an honor to go into the Hall of Fame with him, and it's certainly an honor to receive this award. He represented how to play the game right. Good guy on and off the field, so I couldn't be more honored.
Very nice from Cal Ripken Jr.
I sort of tear up every time I see Tony in his prime. It's hard for me to see him and realize that he's not here anymore.
Yeah. So beautiful recollection there,
right,
from Cal Ripken
Jr. Really nice.
Another one of the all-time best.
And who better to win the first award named for Tony Gwynn than Cal Ripken Jr.?
Go to the Hall of Fame together, right, that last All-Star game.
Absolutely.
Together in Seattle, all of that. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up this last Social Hour of 2015. Right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio in the Western Metal Supply Building at Petco Park. This is Padres Social Hour,
the off-season edition.
We're having some fun with Blooper and Steve Harvey a few minutes ago. We showed you a Photoshopped image. The image I'm about to show you, don't put it up yet, the image I'm about to show you is not Photoshopped, if you can believe this. So yesterday, the Chargers, as everybody knows, played their final home game of this season, and we'll see, obviously,
right,
what the future holds. Crazy day for this town, and we don't have the time to get into everything with that, and it's a Padres show, but obviously it is a significant thing for this city. Insignificant but hilarious is this fact. The game against the Miami Dolphins on Sunday, the Charger girls, the cheerleaders,
right,
they obviously have to stay hydrated during the game. So they have essentially a water boy. They have a water boy for the Charger cheerleaders. Here, this, again, is not fake. This actually happened. Our blooper, Seth,
right,
was the water boy for the Charger girls, at the game against Miami.
Every time you think that Seth has found a new low.
He's Forrest Gump.
Right.
That's what I've heard.
He can just dive one level deeper.
I don't know that that's a dive. I don't think that's a pretty decent gig, isn't it?
It was so much fun.
There you go.
Everybody was hydrated properly.
I bet they were. Hey, Happy New Year, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Hope everyone has a wonderful, safe, lovely holiday
Merry
season.
Merry Christmas.
We'll talk to you in 2016. Thank goodness for the Waterboy.